If you think you can't go from politics to the divine, Carol Gold and Steve Clark are about to take you above the fray. The only agenda here is to empower you to think for yourself, ask more questions, and trust your own truth. So now, the combination talk radio has been missing. Until now, Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you above the fray.
Hi, I'm Carol Gold. Yes, welcome here to Above the Fray. Steve Clark and I are here. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Carol.
We're also phoning the show in, so hopefully all connections will stay exactly where they're supposed to be, and you'll have us live or archived for the next 15 to 30 minutes. Steve, you and I were talking earlier today, and I think this is really important and really interesting, and it has to do with the gap, as it were, between generations and how politically that plays out, but also culturally how that plays out. And I guess maybe and most importantly, in terms of an understanding of the world, how it plays out, because our understanding of the world impacts how we act and react to events both in our own country and around the globe. So I'm going to let you frame this, Steve, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I think it's just an interesting dynamic what's happened here in the U.S. And I almost want to say there's almost kind of two groups of people that really were living that are experiencing this election, experiencing have this worldview. And I don't want to break it down. I think it's an age thing, not a demographic, more of a demographics versus a political issue. And the way I would frame it is, I think the people between, you know, the ages between say 20 to 45 have a worldview, and the people 45 and up have a different type of worldview. And I would say the people who are 45 and up have experienced many different things that the younger generation has not. And I would say that generation that's 45 and up has experienced, there's still people in that generation that go as far back as World War II. In that generation, 45 and up, you have people that experienced the Korean War, that have been through many recessions. You have that whole generation that experienced the Vietnam War. And I think that viewpoint and those tragedies and those things that have happened to them have given them a worldview that's, I would say, that's more traditional of American culture and nature. And I would say the people below that age range have had just different experiences and a different worldview. And so the reason I think it's becoming problematic, or it's beginning to have a problem, is that the world is still a very dangerous place, and the world is still a risky place. And I think the people who are the generation below us have a different worldview than the older people. And I think what the danger is that worldview of not being able to recognize the risks that exist in the world, to recognize the fallacies that exist in the world, to recognize that the potential tragedies that exist in the world, I think leaves them a bit naive. And we're beginning to see that with, which I think that kind of the best case in point is with what we're seeing with is Hillary Clinton. As she runs for office, you have a whole generation that I would call the old guard of media that looks at her, that wants to reelect her as kind of the old leftist regime. But the new generation, I would say, does not like her at all. They know exactly what it means for her to have emails hidden from the government, hidden from the public view, when at a time when the younger generation is getting completely irritated by the government intrusion into our lives with security, with the emails, and basically all the things that Snowden has released about how the government spies on us. So here that younger generation realizes that the government is spying on us, but yet people in the government are not held to the same account. And I think that really annoys the younger generation. So I just think it has issues not only politically, but as a worldview and how we move forward through the world as the U.S. when you have such two different viewpoints that exist in the world.
Well, clearly there are those differences. I think what we refer to as Generation Xers are the ones who were born between like 1966 and 1976, and they're now 38, 39 years old to 48, 49 years old. That's Generation X. There's about 41 million of them. And they're the ones that you often hear referred to as the lost generation, the kind of the latchkey kids who were thrown into daycare and parents, two working families, and wound up divorced. Interestingly enough, they have the lowest voter participation rate of any of the current generations that are on the planet. And Newsweek actually referred to them as the generation that dropped out without ever turning on the news or turning in to the social issues around them. So they're the biggest skeptics out there, and yet they're the best educated generation. They've got 29% of that generation has a bachelor's degree or better. So, you know, then we get into the Generation Ys, who are now they're 20 to 32, and they're actually the largest. There's 71 million of them. They're the largest since the boomer generation. And these are the ones who are incredibly sophisticated technologically. And they also seem to be immune to traditional methods of marketing and pitching, you know, sales pitching to them, because they not only grew up with it all, they've seen it all and been exposed to it all. And when I say it all, what I mean is the technology. So you've got the Xers, you've got the Yers, and you've got the Boomers, and I think there is an almost, I'm sure there's more of a simpatico relationship between the Xers and the Ys than there is between the Boomers and the other two, because that's really where the divide took place. It took place, as I see it, between the Boomers and the Y generation. The X generation, the ones who are now 38 to 48. Because, as you just said, they've grown up in a different world. They grew up in a different world technologically, and they grew up in a different world politically. Because when the Boomers were growing up, the United States was still a very conservative nation. The progressive movement, which has been on the run for the last, been on the march for the last 100 years, hadn't really yet gotten their foothold. They were building their foundation. They were infiltrating universities, they were infiltrating media, but they hadn't yet come out of the closet, so to speak, and they hadn't yet established themselves enough. And so there were still the Ronald Reagans around and opposition, you know, conservatives like Barry Goldwater. You still had people around who were highly conservative, and they reflected, I think, Steve, highly conservative American values, which are now, it seems, in the minority. While that may not be true numerically, demographically, it's certainly true in terms of the way the United States is, the way the population is addressed, the way it's spoken to, the way it's portrayed in the media, because the media did that. The media got that foothold, that leftist foothold that has tried very hard to annihilate, to eviscerate the right. And so I think we've come to a point where you've got literally different views of the same country. It's like watching an accident and having two witnesses see the same accident testify on the stand under oath to two completely different scenarios, because they brought to the moment their own biases and they brought to the moment their own personal feelings and experiences, and they're very different between the Boomers and certainly the X generation, and then, of course, the Y generation. You know, Steve, I saw something happen this week that brought it home to me so personally. You know, I often talk about my daughter. She's in Israel. She's in the Israeli Defense Force, and she's 22 years old, so she's dating, right? So I shouldn't say she's dating. That's the point of this experience that I had. She called me and she said that she had been friends with this young man for almost a year and a half since she's in Israel, but recently they hung out together, and there was some, you know, romantic physical exchange finally, and then he didn't call her, and then he did call her. Well, actually, he texted her, and she felt terrible because she felt that what they had exchanged warranted more than a day or two of silence and then a text. So she called me, and she said, you know, Mom, what do I do? And I said, well, you know, what do you want? And she said, I want a date. I said, well, then that has to be your boundary. You have to let him know that when he texts you and says you want to hang out, you want to have a date. You want this is what you want. And if this isn't the way he's prepared to approach you, then you don't want to be casual friends like you were before. You'd rather just not communicate because for you there's something else potentially here. I may not have been said it exactly like that, but I laid that out as an option. So she said, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. So a few days later, she calls me back and she says, you know, Mom, I don't know what to do. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, my friends say I'm being really, really too old-fashioned, that people don't date anymore, that we hang out or hook up. And I only have them to listen to or you to listen to, Mom, and I don't know what to do. And I said to her, look, I am not of your generation. I don't want to steer you wrong. Times do change. And maybe I have instilled in you values that are old-fashioned in a sense. But if I think what you need to do is next time he wants to hang out and see what that means to him. And if that means what you think a date is, or if he treats you the way a date would, well, then you have what you want. It's just got a different name. But if he's not talking about what you're talking about, if he's not talking about continuous communication and kind of seeing each other, you know, once a week or every other week, whatever it is, well, then you have to make that decision for yourself. What I found so troubling in that call was not only her friend's advice, people don't date anymore. They hook up or hang out. And, of course, hook up is a one-night sex event. But that she was torn between the values she learned from me in a world where her contemporaries are telling her that value isn't a valid value anymore. It's not a viable value. And when I said to her, well, you know, do you think, how do people get together today? She said to me, Mom, people don't really meet organically anymore. And I was so thrown by that statement. Because the fact that she would even make that statement, I had to be sure I knew what she was talking about. She said between Twitter and Facebook, and she named something else I wasn't even aware of, and it wasn't Instagram. It was, I guess, some other way that people meet online. She said people don't really meet organically, and I'll tell you what, Steve, it felt so sad in my heart because it really felt like something is missing in an entire generation that the technology has tried to replace but can never replace, and that's human interaction.
Oh, yeah, this is ripe for conversation. As somebody with five daughters, I followed this trend for years that have been told by numerous people that is a culture that we now live in, is that people no longer date, that they basically, like you
Steve,
said, they
I don't
hook
know
up,
why,
they just...
but we're down to 90 seconds. I don't know what happened on the show. I guess it was only a 15-minute scheduled show. So just close out the show.
Just basically, I think that you're absolutely right. That's where we are in the culture, and I think it's one of those basic things that the left has gone on for years to say men and women are absolutely the same, and that the way that they interact should be the same. And so the men have gotten all the advantages out of that. They get to hook up and choose whoever they want, and there's no consequences out of it. So yeah, I think it's a highly disturbing trend.
You've got the daughters, and I've got the one daughter. And
exactly.
I feel so for these young women who, that's not really in their hearts what they want, but what happens if they're in an environment, they're in a world where that's the reality? I mean, they're like dinosaurs. I don't quite know what we do for them, but obviously the show is short, and it's an important topic. So you know what, Steve? How about if you and I continue this topic on Thursday night? We'll also take a look at what this does to foreign policy in terms of how voters of the different age brackets approach choosing the next president.
Great.
Okay, so thanks for listening. We're back again Thursday night. We apologize for the short show, but hopefully we gave you 15 minutes of packed information to think about. I'm Carol Gold.
I'm Steve Clark.
You've been listening to Above the Fray.
You've been listening to Above the Fray with Carol Gold and Steve Clark, from politics to the divine. Thanks for being a part of a new way to see the world. Visit our website at AboveTheFrayPodcast.com and like us on our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/AboveTheFrayPodcast. This has been Carol Gold and Steve Clark, taking you always above the fray.